say it is a great privilege, and I feel responsibility to be standing here before you this morning, and I'm very grateful to be here. Now, this is going to date me, but in the 70s, there was a rash of good news, bad news jokes that came out. Actually, there was a company that wrote a whole book of good news, bad news jokes, and maybe if you were around in the 70s, or maybe if you weren't even, you'll recognize this one. Below deck, in a Roman galley, the slave master addresses the slaves chained to their oars. Slaves, the good news is that at the next port there will be food and grog for everyone. The bad news is that this afternoon, the captain wants to go water skiing. When I look at the world around me, sometimes it seems like there's an awful lot of bad news in our lives. Don't get me wrong, I know there's good news too. And sometimes the good and the bad are all interwoven together. The challenges we face contain grace, and the moments of blessing bring trials. But somehow, I just long for a time when it's good news, good news. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My husband, Bob, and I love Broadway musicals. One of our all-time favorites is Les Miserables. I'm sure some of you have seen that. Yes? Yes? Yeah, yeah? Some of you more than once, twice, three times, like me, many times. So you'll remember the story. In the opening scene, the principal character, Jean Valjean, has just been released from prison. Desperate because he is hungry and unable to find work, Valjean is welcomed into the home of a kind vicar. The vicar provides food and lodging. Late that night, after the vicar has gone to bed, Valjean flees the home, taking most of the vicar's silver with him. After he's been chased down and caught, he's returned to the home of that kind vicar. It's hoped that he will be convicted and sent back to prison. But in a very poignant moment, the vicar does the unexpected, telling the constable that Valjean is not a thief. Handing Jean Valjean the remaining silver, the vicar tells him, "God has raised you out of darkness, and I have bought your soul for God." Not only has the vicar saved this man from a life of imprisonment, he has given him the financial wherewithal to move forward in life. That's radical hospitality, and it's good news for Valjean. Yet, as the story unfolds, Jean Valjean faces one challenge after another. God may be at work in his life, enabling him to live with integrity and compassion, but his journey is difficult. The story of Jean Valjean moves me to tears every time I see it. I think because it's an honest portrayal of life. Our journey is truly a mixed blessing. Good news is frequently laced with bad news, and blessing arrives in the same box as challenge. As people of faith, we are told, and we believe, that our God raises us up out of darkness. But life definitely has a way of placing stumbling blocks in front of us. When I read the story from Acts about Paul and Lydia this week, I found myself asking whether the good news is sometimes actually bad news. See what you think. The text just prior to what Lori read for us reads like a travelogue. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. This description reminds me of a mime I once saw at Quincy Market. Do you know what I'm talking about? This man walks up to a wall and bumps into it, feeling the imaginary wall, shrugs his shoulders and turns and attempts to walk again, and once again bumps into that imaginary wall. In the end, the mime turns and walks happily away. It's sort of a metaphor for Paul's journey, don't you think? Bumping into obstacles, turning again and again. No doubt Paul has dreams that he'd hoped would be carried out in Asia and Bithynia. But he was prevented from going south, and again when he turned north, he was prevented from moving. By default, Paul and his companions wind up in the harbor city of Troas. Paul felt compelled to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but it seemed as though his personal plans were repeatedly thwarted. Finally, direction came for Paul in the form of a vision in which a man said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." The group responded immediately, heading to Macedonia by sea. Passing through Samothrace and Neapolis, they arrived at Philippi, where Scripture tells us they remained for some days. Life is like that. Our faith journeys are like that. We try a new direction and find it's not helpful. We turn a different way and have a similar outcome. And sometimes, even after we've discerned the Spirit's guidance, we wait. Acts tells us that finally, on the Sabbath, Paul and company ventured outside the city gates, where they encountered Lydia and her friends praying by the river. Lydia is described as a worshiper of God. She is the surprising person who becomes the first European convert to Christianity. How interesting that Paul, the former Pharisee, a man who often is criticized for his words about the role of women in church leadership, baptizes Lydia, an independent Gentile woman, as the first convert in Europe. God indeed works in mysterious ways. Is the good news ever bad news? For Paul, who had experienced a series of no's before that undeniable yes came, spreading the gospel message meant giving up personal plans, ideas, and control so that God's guidance and Christ's ministry could be the central guiding power in his life. Just think how many people and places Paul passed before he had finally encountered Lydia, the individual who was ready to receive his message. Lydia, the other key figure in today's story. While Paul was readjusting his plans, God was also at work in her life. Lydia is described as a successful merchant and a mistress of a household, a very rare distinction for a woman at that time. This strong, independent woman was enabled to listen to Paul with an open heart and to receive the word of God. The result was that she and her entire household were baptized into the faith. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a person who sees in color, who imagines in color. So I was struck by this image of Lydia sitting by the river, surrounded by her friends. There she sat by blue waters, reminiscent of the water of baptism. Along comes Paul, and through the power of his words, she feels the fiery red of the Holy Spirit. Can you see it? The blue water of baptism, the red of the Holy Spirit combining, mixing. And what comes out? In my mind's eye, I see holy purple. The expensive purple that only the wealthy could afford. The prized purple of royalty, and priestly garments, the purple that was already the rich fabric of Lydia's life. Scripture tells us that she was waiting with a heart that had been opened by the Lord. She was ready, and her life was changed. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us much about Lydia. She may already have been a person who is accustomed to offering hospitality to others. But Scripture does tell us that after her baptism, she welcomed foreigners and prisoners into her home. And I suspect that had not been her custom. I wonder what the fabric of Lydia's life looked like after her conversion. I'd like to think of it as a beautiful patchwork made up of the stranger, the prisoner, the other in her life. But who knows? Is this good news for Lydia or bad news? When we say yes to God's good news and allow Christ's message and ministry to be central in our lives, it's possible that we'll be led along paths that wouldn't have been our first choice. Do you agree? Have you seen that in your life? Maybe? Possibly? Certainly true in my life. A number of years ago, I was serving as the director of Christian education at Westminster Presbyterian Church over the other side of Hartford. I loved the people of God in that place, and I loved my work. But Bob was offered a job in Schenectady, New York, so I left my job and went along with him, entering a wide open space where I no longer had the constraints of my former life. After I thought about it for a while, I went back to school and earned my Master of Divinity degree and was blessed to find a job to be called to work as the associate pastor for children and families at Union Presbyterian Church in Schenectady, New York. I loved the people of God in that place, and I loved my work. But, as luck would have it, or God's providence perhaps, Bob was called to a new position at Day Kimball Hospital in Putnam, Connecticut, just over the Rhode Island border. And I am once again in a broad place, waiting to discover where God will call me next. In this time of waiting, there are many blessings for me, not the least of which is the opportunity to be in worship with all of you. You might not know this, but you, the members of PPC, are teaching me what hospitality really is. Like the vicar in Les Mis and Lydia, you have opened your lives and your church home to those who were once strangers. You see, hospitality is not just about the bread that you give to newcomers, although I have to say that's mighty nice. It's the way you invite those who join you here to connect with one another. It's the way that you reach out to the people in Providence and beyond. And hospitality is the way you pray well for one another and for the world we live in. Through the prayers of this church, it is possible to see how your life together is a mix of good news and bad news. This week there have been holy purple moments of blessing and long hours of challenge and uncertainty. As we watch the events unfolding around the immigration issues in Arizona, we cannot help but be keenly aware of the precarious state of what the Bible calls the alien in our midst. Even as you celebrate the miracle of Abigail's growing strength, you all must recognize that Pastor Dave and Lisa have a long road ahead of them. And on this Mother's Day, as we give thanks for the mothering arms of our God who cradles us all, and for the loving mothers in our lives, we acknowledge that for some, motherhood is not possible, and that parenting provides challenges as well as joy. Mahalia Jackson sang these words. The way may not be easy, you didn't say, Lord, that it would be. But when tribulation gets too light, we tend to stray from the, oh, have mercy, please. Lord, don't move my mountain. Just give me strength to climb. Lord, don't move my stumbling block, but lead your child around. As I told the children earlier, sometimes the best gifts come in unlikely packages. What initially seems like good news can eventually disappoint us. And then, by the grace of God, packages that seemed unlikely to hold anything good yield amazing blessings. So, you may be the judge. Can the good news of the gospel ever really be bad news? As we wind along life's path, as we journey in faith, I believe that the good news is actually always just that, good news.
Please rise and join me in reciting the affirmation of faith, which can be found in your bulletin. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles, rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silent, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, come, Lord Jesus. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Now is the time in our service when we give our thanks to God through our gifts and offerings.
Love is not proud.
Yeah.
merciful God, from whom comes all that is good. We praise you for your mercy, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing of the Lord God come down upon you and remain with you throughout your life.